checking high school sports and volleyball action last night from the Hawkeye 10 Conference. It was Denison taking three straight from Atlantic, winning 25-22, 25-23, and 25-21 in action last night. Also in the Hawkeye 10, Shenandoah down in Creston 3-1. Red Oak outlasting Clarinda 3-2. It was St. Albert shutting down Harlan 3-0. Harlan also beat Glenwood 3-1. St. Albert over Glenwood 3-0. Kemper Catholic roared back from a 2-0 deficit to beat Lewis Central 3-2. In Western Iowa Conference play, it was Tri-Center over Audubon 3-1. Trainer beating Riverside 3 in a row. It was Missouri Valley sweeping 3 from Griswold. Logan Magnolia took 3 straight from AHSTW. And IKM Manning swept 3 from Underwood. In the Rolling Valley Conference, Arweva topping Cam 3-1. Exira EHK beating Coon Rapids Bayard 3-1. Also in the Pride of Iowa Conference, Lennox over Nottoway Valley 3-1. Southwest Valley beat Bedford in 3 straight. In the Corner Conference Tournament semifinals last night, it was Essex defeating Stanton 3-2. Sydney defeating East Mills in 3 straight. Well, the Toronto Blue Jays are going to Texas to play in the American League Division Series. The Baltimore Orioles are going home. Edwin Encarnacion cracked a no-doubter 3-run homer in the 11th inning to give the Blue Jays a 5-2 walk-off victory that clinched the AL wild card and earned Toronto a ticket into the American League's Final Four. Devin Travis opened the Blue Jays rally with a single. Josh Donaldson followed with another single. Then Encarnacion cracked the first pitch he saw from Ubaldo Jimenez into the deep upper deck in left field seats that touched off a raucous celebration at Rogers Center. Jose Bautista led off the second inning with a homer off of Orioles starter Chris Tillman. Blue Jays starter Marcus Stroman retired the first 9 Orioles before Adam Jones led off the fourth with a single, followed by a 2-run homer by Mark Trumbo. Ezekiel Carrera tied the game with a run-scoring single that knocked out Tillman in the 5th inning. The Jays advanced to an American League Division playoff series against the Texas Rangers. That'll start on Thursday. The National League wildcard game is scheduled for tonight in New York with the Mets hosting San Francisco. The pitching matchup for that game is a pretty good one. Noah Syndergaard will start for the Mets against Madison Bumgarner for the Giants. This will be the second postseason meeting of the clubs as the Mets beat the Giants in 4 in a 2000 National League Division Series. The Mets won home field for this game by taking the season series between the clubs as they each finished with an 87-75 record. The winner of that game will face the Cubs in the divisional playoffs. That series will get underway on Friday. Cubs manager Joe Maddon has announced that John Lester will be his starting pitcher in the opening game of the NLDS against either the Mets or the Giants. Lester went 19-5 this season and was second in the majors to teammate Kyle Hendricks with a 244 earned run average. Hendricks will start game 2 at home on Saturday after going 16-8 with a 213 earned run average. Jake Arrieta takes an 18-8 mark to the mound for game 3 on the road with the 11-8 John Lackey starting game 4 if necessary. Lester was 10-2 with a 1.74 ERA at Wrigley Field. Hendricks also dominated at home, going 9-2 with a 1.32 earned run average. The starting pitching rotation for Boston's opening American League Division Series against Cleveland could feature a foursome that has yet to register a postseason victory as a starter. Manager John Farrell previously said that Rick Porcello and David Price would start games 1-2. Clay Buchholz and Eduardo Rodriguez are expected to pitch games 3-4. But Farrell wouldn't confirm that rotation until he has until Thursday morning to do so before that series gets underway. Cleveland Indians catcher Yan Gomes may play in October after all. Gomes, who broke his right hand during a minor league injury rehabilitation appearance late in the season, has progressed to the point that Cleveland may include him in their postseason roster when the Indians open up the AL Division Series Thursday against Boston. It's been a challenging season for Gomes, who separated his right shoulder on July 17th and spent 2 months on the disabled list. During his final game with AA Akron before his expected return, he was struck by a pitch and it appeared that his season was over. But he homered on Sunday in Kansas City, connecting on the first pitch that he'd seen in a major league game in 77 days. Well, Tim Tebow is moving his tryout for professional baseball career to the Arizona Fall League. That's where the former NFL quarterback is being sent by the Mets to play against some of the game's premier prospects. Tebow's instructional league stint in Port St. Lucie, Florida, had been cut short due to the approach of Hurricane Matthew. The state of Florida is already under a state of emergency. The 29-year-old Tebow reports Sunday to play for the Scottsdale Scorpions. The 2007 Heisman Trophy winner embarked on a professional baseball career last month when he signed a minor league contract with the Mets. Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred supports changing the rule that expands active rosters from 25 to 40 each September 1st. Managers have expressed concern that the rule changes late in the season, allowing multiple pitching changes for righty-lefty matchups. Saying he doesn't think using 18 pitchers a game is a good thing, Manfred says the issue is part of negotiations for a labor contract to replace the deal that expires on December 2nd. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz says the fun in football is playing well. The Hawkeyes haven't had much fun the past few weeks. A season that began with a national ranking and lofty expectations appears close to unraveling as Iowa prepares to visit Minnesota in the annual battle for Floyd of Rosedale. Ferentz says the problem is not a lack of talent, but a need to eliminate mistakes.
It's practice, it's fundamentals. If you're playing good defense where the ball's in a phone booth, then you ought to be able to make that tackle. I mean, we got to be able to make that tackle or it's going to be a long season. So those are the kinds of things that, you know, those are coachable, they're addressable, hopefully. And, you know, the faster we get there, the better off we'll all feel.
Iowa's 3-2 after a loss to Northwestern, and with the toughest part of the schedule beginning this week, there needs to be significant progress.
Well, I don't think any of us are playing perfect or coaching perfect, so, you know, we're all frustrated right now. We came up short twice. That leads to frustration, and there's not a person in our organization that can't do a better job, and that's what we're all trying to do.
Iowa's run defense has been dreadful, and the Hawkeyes must now play a Minnesota offense that's averaged 435 yards in the last two games in the series.
It's going to be a big challenge for us. Matching up size-wise, so we're really going to have to do a great job with our technique. And the biggest thing on defense, everybody's got to be where they've got to be when they're supposed to be there, and then number two, we got to tackle better. And, you know, those two areas have cost us some big plays.
Minnesota quarterback Mitch Leidner says there's no love lost between the Gophers and the Hawkeyes.
Well, there's a lot of hatred between the two states and two teams, and I think, you know, everyone on this team understands that. I'm hoping the freshmen understand it, but if they don't, by the end of today, they will. So I'm pretty excited for this one and be able to bring the pig home senior year. That's everything you want.
Iowa was throttled 51-14 in their last visit to the Twin Cities in 2014. Of course, Hawkeyes took home Floyd last year with a victory. We'll have that game Saturday morning for you. 11 o'clock is kickoff. 9 o'clock is the pregame. Northern Iowa coach Mark Farley says special teams are making progress, but the kicking is still lagging as they prepare for this week's game at South Dakota. Matt Easley and Austin Eartham have combined to connect on only 4 of 11 field goal chances this season.
The kicking itself has to improve because there's points left on the board that we're not getting because of that phase of the game. So whether it's the snap, the catch, the hold, the protection, you know, the timing, all those things need to be viewed, and who's doing the job too, because it's just like any other position. If you're missing a tackle, you get replaced. If you're missing a kick, you get replaced. And it goes with the territory.
Farley says they need to find someone who can give them a consistent performance, and they'll consider all options this week.
We just want to get the best people on the field, create the competition, and usually competition makes players better. If I got to go compete for it, then I'll step my game up too. And the guy that steps up the game is the guy that will be good and the guy we want kicking for us anyway.
Former Western Illinois and Wartburg coach Bob Nielsen is in his first season as the coach at South Dakota. The Coyotes are 1-3. UNI is 2-2 after a win over Southern Illinois coming into that contest. And in golfing news, golfing greats from around the world gathered to pay tribute to Arnold Palmer at a memorial service in his hometown of Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Palmer passed away September 25th at the age of 87, and last Thursday a private funeral was held. In the public farewell, Jack Nicklaus, his voice cracking as a large tear formed in his left eye, urged everyone to remember how Palmer touched their lives and implored them to please don't forget why. The service at St. Vincent College was filled with much laughter and warmth from stories of the most dominant figure in modern golf. That's a look at sports this hour, brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center, your Goodyear dealer in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field.